Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance 877-420-8255. Well, good morning and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen here in the studio with you and hope you're having a great day. Before we get into the show and talk about tell a little bit about our guest, want to kind of mention to you again about the pftradio.com website. That is pftradio.com. Very happy with the amount of traffic that website is receiving. There's a lot of great resources there, some downloadable documents that's very helpful to a lot of people, as well as all the podcasts of our shows for the last couple years are on there, and our guest that's been on the shows a little bit tell about them. Also, check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, and also want to mention again, we have continue to offer the Five Wishes document. That document has been an incredible resource for a lot of people here in our tri-state area. And so if you want to get a copy of that document, you can definitely do that at Henson Mortuary. Give us a call there at 736-8986 and be happy to get one of those out to you, or you can stop by and pick that up also. And in the studio today, I want to kind of mention who our guest is. And like I said, I'm really going to have to back up here just a bit when I said we're going to talk about our guest, because we definitely don't want to talk about the minister, although it goes on sometimes. But today we have Pastor Chuck Lawrence in the studio with us.
Yeah, my name is Chuck, and so sometimes I tell our people not to have ground Chuck. For lunch, so I hope that doesn't happen.
We'll definitely not do that on the air.
Oh, good.
We won't do it even off the air.
Wow, this is going to be a good show then.
It is.
Great.
Today our guest is Pastor Chuck Lawrence, and he is senior pastor at Christ Temple Church here in Huntington. And prior to being pastor, Pastor Chuck was a very successful business owner here in the area. And he is a well-respected minister, and he ministers all over the world. And we're very fortunate to have him here in the tri-state area. And he was also, I'll give a little bit more background
okay.
here.
Tell me about me.
I'm going to tell you just a little bit about
okay.
yourself. Some things you may know, may not know, and some things...
Okay.
But Pastor Chuck was also a songwriter, a well-respected songwriter and a musician. His lyrics being recorded by a lot of well-known people in gospel music, and he's dedicated his entire life now to ministry and helping others. So glad to have you on the show today.
Well, great. And yes, songwriter. I still try to do that every now and then, but I don't have the same kind of maybe venue that I had back then. Back then, my mind just kind of wandered constantly about just different things to write songs about. But now, of course, I'm concentrating in ministry and don't have that. What do you call it? The availability of the mind just kind of going
exactly.
off into some poetic genre.
Some things you just don't want to write about too.
Well, in ministry, though, it's of course we'll maybe talk today about all of us being in ministry, of course, to some capacity. But you know, in ministry, there are a lot of things that are behind the scenes, things that need to be done and have to be mm-hmm. taken care of that a lot of people don't even know about. As a matter of fact, when I grew up, I heard that Rev stood for rest, eat, and visit. You know, and so and but anyway,
a lot of truth to that.
In case you don't know, that's an abbreviation for Reverend. But anyway, I know that a lot of times in my life time I had it wrong. Another perception, but mm-hmm. I did have a freedom though when I did work when I was in my business and those kind of things, a freedom to just kind of let my mind think on other subjects, would be songs and things, those kind of things. So I don't really write as many songs as I used to write. I still write a few every now and then, but back in the day that was a wonderful thing. It really was.
Yeah,
it was great.
Primary focus. It was a good place
to be. I'm
glad
you mentioned that. I kind of forget that sometimes.
You need to go back and
stir that gift back up.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's a great gift. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to talk a little bit today. We're going to talk about ministry, and I think that you can bring a lot of insight to people, but
okay.
I want to talk a little bit about, for our listeners, how they can make a positive impact on others' lives, especially if they're involved in their own church and things like that. How can we minister ourselves? Because, you know, a lot of people look at it of going, well, my pastor's the minister. Mm-hmm. He does all the work, and I just come right. to church and show up. But how can we as individuals and as members of the church just minister?
Well, when there's a listing of what it is referred to as the fivefold ministry, which you know, ministers should encompass, obviously, or people who are referred to as ministers, you know, the prophet, the teacher, and the pastor, and the apostle, and the, you know, the those pieces are there, and they
right.
need to be there. But really, when you read down just a little bit further in the Bible, it says that that's just to prepare others for the work of the ministry. So in other words, that's not really what ministry entails totally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not left to the pastor or to the teacher or to the evangelist or to the prophet or the apostle. It's really left for them to stir up the gift in others
right.
so they can all minister. And the word minister really means to serve mm-hmm. one another in love and represent Christ. And I believe that's for all of us to do, and not just to pay somebody to take care of that so you can get about your business
exactly.
and live your life, and then on Sunday show up and donate a little yeah. bit so he can continue to do that piece. All of us need
yeah.
to do that piece.
I think it's kind of a misconception among individuals sometimes.
What?
But like you said, you think, well, you mm-hmm. know what, the minister's there, the pastor's
right.
there, and we give, we pay our tithes,
yeah.
and he needs to do his job.
And you know, a lot of churches, they want to hire a minister.
Right.
And I do believe in leaders, and I believe God intends for us to have leaders, and there is a place for the pastors. As a matter of fact, in the last time Jesus preaches a sermon, which is in the book of Revelation,
right.
he addresses the angels of the churches, or the pastors, or the people that are bishops of those churches,
okay.
those seven churches. And so, yeah, He does, and God works through them. Of course he does, and he should, and he will. But I believe that is not just for them to take all that weight. It's for all of us to catch that. And so I believe that it's been distributed, and that's what makes the ministry successful, is when everybody sees their part.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all in a body together. And, you know, it's not one piece. Let's say the pastor takes care of the neck area or,
right.
or whatever. Well, that's fine. It's wonderful, but that can't be all there is
right.
to it.
Exactly.
It's got to have the hands that reach out and the feet that go places and on, of course.
Yeah.
The analogy is fantastic. But we all are part of that body, and we all are vital. And I believe if we catch this, how vital we really are, I think everyone will understand that it's up to us to make sure that we do all we can to minister
yeah.
to one another. And we minister, yes. I said it, serving in love is what
mm-hmm.
ministry is, serving each other in love. Number one, Jesus says, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So it's whoever is in front of you, and whatever presents itself as an opportunity, do it with all your heart, body, mind, soul, strength, whatever,
right.
as unto the Lord. Then the second half is true love. That's serving, by the way. And then the love that you serve in is that you care more about a person's destiny than you do about your own present comfort.
Well, now that's interesting right
and
there.
And that is something that's taken years for me to get to. But that agape love, I think, is really, truly described there.
Right.
And I want to repeat it again. You care more about someone's destiny, and you know where they're going, what
they're going to
become, than you do about your own present comfort. And when you have that, that's the love that Christ had for you,
right.
and now you're exhibiting and exemplifying it in the world
wow.
in which we live in today. So that's the way we need to serve one another, and that is ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and bringing up something here that I want to mention, you know, in a day and age where we're seeing churches closing. You know, I mean, did we ever
wow.
think years ago we would see empty churches sitting on street corners? I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, congregations that are now having to merge because there's, you know, the congregations are getting smaller and things like that. And it's a sad time. But do you think that maybe sometimes what we were just talking about, the individuals maybe not getting involved from a ministry standpoint a lot of times, is what maybe hurts some of these churches?
And
I know there's
sure.
I know there's things that happen in the city, you know maybe people move out of a certain area, geographic area, and
right.
it causes people to that church not to be as healthy as
well,
it once
you know,
was.
It's interesting. You know, I think this generation has been accused of being driven by wanting to be served and waiting for you know, someone to take care of them. And you know, we live in a society that is projected that way, even in the press, and of course, even discussed on shows like this one. You
right.
know, how people want to be served.
Sure.
Can't wait, you know, they feel like someone owes them something. I understand that, but that's really, I find that's really not the case. People want to have a opportunity to give back, but here's what it is, Fred. They want to give back in a significant way. In other words, meaningful, something meaningful. So they're not looking for just something to do. They're
mm-hmm.
looking for something to do that is meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And when they can do something that's meaningful, they'll step up to the plate. And, you know, people want to have a win in their life. They want to know that what they did mattered and made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But we've made it so esoterical. We've made the things of the Christian faith something that's, you know, never, ever quite attained. So what people, they don't understand it. You know, they hear deep messages. What they really mean is, I don't get it.
Right.
And so they hear things they don't get, or a lot of things that they've repeated.
That's what deep means.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Not always. I hope I have some depth to what I say. But my point is, a lot of times they don't know know what to do. They don't know what their marching orders are.
Right.
They don't know that they're being equipped. They don't even understand that. They don't know that now they're being empowered to go take outside the four walls what God's given to them inside
right.
these four walls. And that's why the ecclesia, or the, what we call the church, comes together, is to be equipped and then empowered to leave after engaging the presence of the king. But not understanding that what happens to them is they leave, and what they do is they kind of almost seem to check off the list. Okay, I did my, thing, but I did my Jesus thing. In other words, I got mm-hmm. that taken care of. I can check off the list. I know God's not going to be mad at me because I did show up at church.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that begins to deteriorate, and they mm-hmm. don't have any real thing that they're having, what we would call a takeaway, mm-hmm. that they go out and live out of. And they may have be able to quote a few scriptures. They may remember 3 points, or they may even remember the story or the joke or
right.
whatever, those kind of things that they would give. But really, at life application, they don't know that they've been empowered by God's yeah. presence to really make a difference. So they don't make that difference. And so they don't make the difference. So they lack satisfaction to a life of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make up their own meaning. And usually the meaning will revolve around materialism, relationships, you know, what I mean by materialism, you know, financial gain and
right.
houses and that. And they just focus on those kind of things, and they take care of that. And their life begins to evolve around that. And that's all they really have in their life. And they lose the meaning that they really are going after.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the meaning is not hooked to the church.
Right.
The meaning is hooked to the mall or wherever else. So the whole point is that people are not really waiting to be served. They are not feeling entitled, really, at the core. They'll live that way if you allow them not to have meaning.
Right.
But if you ever give someone meaningful purpose, if you ever show them, hey, God is in you to make a difference in someone else's life, when they see that, I'm telling you, so that's not something archaic. That's something for right now.
Right.
God can and desires to use that. And when he does, inside of people, people begin to have meaning.
Yeah.
People want to live. People want to do.
They
want to make a difference.
Well, you mentioned a word there that I think is very important, the word empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to come from leadership a lot of times, to empower these individuals.
I think we don't empower, we abdicate. And what we mean by that is that we just give over something. You know, hey, take care of that.
Right.
But that's not empowering.
Right. Because
empowering happens after you've equipped.
Yeah.
And then you equip, and you know, and I'm not here to tell you about all the avenues of equipping, but my
right.
point is that you equip people and then you empower them.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows them to be able to be effective. And when they are effective in a meaningful way, in a meaningful project of some sort, I'm telling you, people want to do that.
You're absolutely
people,
right.
And, you know, and they're not really trying to gain significance, but significance does come after you. But also the greatest thing is when you feel like you've been victorious about something that matters, it makes you feel different about
yourself
absolutely. And life in general. And you're high-fiving somebody. You may be worn out. I mean, you're depleted in every way. Still, you're
feeling of accomplishment.
Right, that last little bit of strength is to raise your hand to someone else and hit and go, hey, we did it.
We did it.
And that really is what ministry really entails. And I'm so sorry that we have not done that. We've abdicated. We just gave over something that we didn't want to do to somebody else. Or we've not given anyone anything to do. Or if we gave them something to do, we gave them to do without equipping them properly.
Yeah.
I set them up for failure. So, hey, all I want to do is say everybody really at the core is that has Christ in them, they really do want to minister. And we as ministers or that are leaders need to open that door up widely for them to be able to walk through and to be able to get that feeling of fulfillment.
Right. Hey, you're listening to Planning for Tomorrow. Pastor Chuck Lawrence is in the studio with us. We're going to take just a quick break. You're listening to Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930. Wow, we are back to Planning for Tomorrow, and Ernie has surprised me and Pastor Chuck.
He surprised me. That's great.
That is a song that, let's talk about that just a second.
Okay,
this is going to go back a little bit, because I want to get back into what we're talking about, but that was pretty appropriate. That is a song that you wrote back in,
was that
the 80s, right?
No, well, actually, it was recorded in the 80s,
okay.
I wrote it in, I think, 78, actually got the idea for it, took me about 2 minutes, I think, 3 minutes, something like that, to actually write the song. I wrote it, I sang it as I wrote it. It was just remarkable, maybe a little bit longer than that, but the idea came to me earlier in the day, and then I sat down at the piano, and it just kind of flowed out. The line came to me, he grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross.
Wow.
And man, that whole thought just began to roll out of me. But it took me a couple years to work on it, and took it to Nashville, and they said, hey, listen, you need to construct it a little differently, and they named a couple things. And next thing I know, Barbara Mandrell had recorded.
Wow.
And her performance of that went on to win a Grammy Award and also a Dove Award.
Wow.
And I was at her house recently, and I asked her if I could have that Grammy, since I don't know the song.
She said no.
Yeah, she was very clear on that I couldn't have the Grammy or the Dove.
I wouldn't touch it either way.
Yeah, right. She let me look at it. Isn't that nice?
Okay, that was
anyway.
That was a cool time in your life, though. I mean, really was.
I wrote other songs. I think a song called Heartbeat went to number two in the nation, but Daystar by the Gaither Vocal Band actually was number one at that time, and I'm glad that's a great song as well. But Heartbeat is a great song, too. But there's a lot of great songs I wrote back in those days. But anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very cool, Ernie. Our producer is very creative this morning.
Well, he is, and he's very nice. Very nice man.
Yes, he is.
Very wise. Very wise.
Okay. I'm going on.
Okay.
Let's go back to what we were talking about a little bit. You know, in your view, and I want to kind of take this a different direction, in your view of ministry today, of course, you know, I grew up in being a minister's kid, a pastor's kid my entire life, and and
he was preaching before you were born,
He was preaching before I was born.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know God about that, him. But yeah. But anyway,
Tim. He's been preaching a long time.
He's been preaching about 25 years. I shouldn't tell a story from a minister, should I? I just did.
Well, I'm looking at you in the radio. You might be able to get away with it with them, but I'm looking at you. Okay.
But let's talk a little bit about how ministry has changed today. Here we are in 2013.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
You know, 30, 40 years ago, we were ministering the same message, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
You know, hopefully.
I hope
the message has been consistent, but how has things changed?
Well, let me tell you, it is the same message.
Absolutely.
Now, I believe that God has caused us to be able to have greater depth of knowledge in Greek and Hebrew and those kind of things than we had 30, 40 years ago because of the internet and the availability of Strong's Concordances being written so well now, available so well. You know, a lot of things that we have taken for granted before that were certain ways, now we've discovered there, you know, more clarity to them.
Right.
And the Bible's coming together at another level, and a lot of things that divided people before are not going to divide people anymore because they're realizing that they're both basically saying one half of it over here and one half over here. And when they get the true, I'll use the word gist, of what the Greek is saying, then they understand that both of them had a piece of it. And together they make up the truth of what that is saying. So God is really leading us together. And they're really the schisms in the body that the Bible talks about of the body of Christ are really being broken down by a new age of awareness of the message. It's not changing the message, but a clarity to the message. I believe there are people that are trying to change the message.
They're
trying to do different things, and so unfortunately, it's driven by a lot of people who want to say something that no one's ever said before, or say something that you know maybe can make them a name for themselves or something like that. But I'm so glad for people who are preaching the message, and it's becoming clearer and clearer in the message that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it's just a wonderful day to be living in, to see the people coming together. And 30 or 40 years ago. There were people that were divided in ways that they're not divided today.
Right.
A lot of denominations come together and meetings and conferences together, and a lot of that walls that were built up over the years have been broken down to where they can fellowship with one another. And denominations have a good reason to exist. They bring people together.
Right.
But it's good to see that they also are crossing the barriers and fellowshipping with one another. And our church is probably exemplary in that.
Absolutely.
We've watched that from a lot of different backgrounds, how coming together and worshiping Jesus and in a powerful way. And it's wonderful to see Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, and all those.
All under the same roof.
And just really, truly hungry after God. And so where they came from is not quite as important as where they're going.
Exactly.
And it's just really an amazing day to be alive. So it is, ministry has changed. But, you know, and the method has to change as well.
The way of
the
delivery.
The message is the same, but the way you deliver is a whole different thing. Today, we have to break things down. You just can't take it for granted that people know Jesus Christ and what all that means. They don't know that the word Christ means Messiah. So I've started saying Jesus the Christ, because a lot of people have heard Jesus Christ, but they thought Christ maybe was the last name of this guy named Jesus. And, you know, so I start saying Jesus the Christ.
Right.
And there's different ways the Lord has really instructed me to give it to the people, so that the people that are have been in it all their life can still glean something from it. But the people who don't know, who have never read the Old Testament, don't know the story of Adam and Eve even, or you know, they've kind of aware of it, but knowing the ark and wow, did that really exist? I thought that was a myth. And
but it was just a story.
Yeah, and all yeah, all these things, you know, and all these things that, like the tabernacle and everything we base our the you know this the everything from the feast of the Lord, the thing that all play out in our sermons when we're talking about Jesus Christ and how you know he was there at the Passover. A lot of people, they don't even know what the Passover is. So there's a lot of teaching that has been missed. So I have to go back and grab some of those pieces and take moments to try to develop that quickly, of course, but in a way that everybody can be on the same page to get the truths that are coming out. And so, yeah, ministry has changed a little bit because a lot of people have not had that basic Bible education that, 45, 50 years ago we were just taking for granted.
Was that something that was maybe missed? You know, we talk about Sunday school kids and things like that from years ago, especially Sunday school had a little different twist on it the way it was years ago compared to the way it is today. But do you think that maybe a reason why some of those people that don't have that information you're talking about, don't have that knowledge, is because it was missed in church, in Sunday school, just wasn't taught? Or
maybe. I you know, some of them were in church. And you know,
come in church at a later time.
A couple of generations back, we saw the decline in people going and attending church and taking their children to church. And some have a little bit of background, but they don't really have the... They, in other words, they went to Sunday school at a time when they have scripture knowledge, but they don't really have the ability to be able to know how they understand, put it together, and have revelation. They don't really have any of that. They just have a little bit of background as far as the scripture is concerned.
Right.
And they may have that, but some don't even have that.
Good deal. Well, we're talking today to Pastor Chuck Lawrence, pastor of Christ Temple Church. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk about some other things that I think is going to be very beneficial to people. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey.
And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Pastor Chuck Lawrence in the studio with us. And we've been talking about a lot of things. Gosh, talking about ministry and how we can get involved as individuals, you know, and how we can make a difference.
And also how things have changed.
And how things have changed.
You know, that was last 30 years.
That's a big deal. I mean, there has been a lot of change in the last 30 years. Especially in the way we look. And the way
Well, maybe that's true, too. But I would like to say this. One of the great changes that have taken place, and I call it a great change, is that we are ministering to people that don't necessarily fit the mold. Yeah, I was going to say mode as well. Maybe anyway, that fit what we are generally going after. And there, because there are people today that really, truthfully, have not had the opportunities that you and I have been afforded, and other people have been afforded, and have went awry and never had a chance. As a matter of fact, think about this: how many people we minister to right now have never set their foot in church
in
before?
Church. Yeah.
And
that's
and
an amazing number, too.
Yes, it is. Yeah. There's quite a few people. Even you would not think in a place called the Bible Belt where that would be true, but there are people that have not been in church before.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a good point there in talking about ministering to people that don't fit what we would call, and I hate to even say it, but the mold, you know, that we as Christians always looked, okay, well, a person that's going to be in leadership or a person that's going to be in ministry, whatever that ministry is. And when we say ministry, we don't always mean pastor. Ministry has a whole, it encompasses a whole big area. But, you know, when I'm talking about some of those people that may not fit the mold, you know, let's talk about this. Let's shift gears just a little bit from that, talking about not fitting the mold. When society tells somebody, you've messed up, and you've messed up big time, you're damaged goods, and in a lot of cases they say, you know, you're no longer wanted, you don't fit, you know, they've messed up, and they were a good person at one time, they just got sidetracked and all that. How we as Christians bring them back in, and I guess, you know, kind of help them get back on track, and then reuse those individuals when they get back on track, because they don't fit the mold that a lot of people think they should fit, right?
You know, probably you're talking about a lot of unnamed sets of circumstances that may be choices they've made that have brought them to a place where they're way off track.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. All right. Here's the point. The Bible said while you were yet in your sins, you know, Jesus died for you. So the whole point is that the fact that you have sin in your life and the fact that you have sinned before does not disqualify you from becoming used by God. As a matter of fact, God only has one commodity that he can make saints out of, and that's sinners, because we're all born in sin. Okay, exactly. Got that? So therefore, sinners. Okay, that's what he uses. That's the commodity he goes after. And your sin does not keep him back from coming toward you, okay?
Right.
And
okay.
His love is shed abroad in your heart. He's gone toward you, and because he loves every person. Now, here's the point I want to make, is a lot of times we know the mistakes they've made, and we've seen those things, and some of them have been devastating mistakes. They're devastating choices that have led to lifestyles that are incorrect, and things that have hurt families and caused them to be ostracized by us. And there's nothing else we can do about it. I mean, we just have to say, you know, we can't fellowship with you any little more. You're not part of our family anymore, or whatever it might be. You can't work here anymore, or whatever it
might
be. But here's the thing: God's love goes beyond all those things,
right.
And not that He can't see it, but He sees something that we don't see. We always see what they've done, or didn't do. We see the problem. Problems they've caused, and the situation, circumstance. We see what God sees. It's not only that, because He sees all that, but He sees what they can become.
The potential.
And that potential is enough to cause Him to love them with a love that says they're worth it. They're worth dying for.
Wow.
And can I say to somebody right now, you're worth dying for. You're to die for. And that's the way God feels about you right now. And so therefore, it doesn't matter about all the mistakes you've made, all the difficulties you've caused for other people. God sees the greatness in you. Now, that means we as ministers, and I'm talking about the entire body of believers, we as ministers must recognize that same kind of love needs to come through us, because maybe we've been forgiven of just one little grain of sand.
Right.
And they represent the equivalent of a beach, you know, of what they've done, right?
They've done.
But guess what? One grain of sand and a beach is the same to our God. Yeah. His love is for the one that's done one thing wrong versus the one that's done great things wrong. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, the stories that Jesus gave, the people like the prodigal son, for instance, or the person who's done terrible atrocities, Jesus said, which one loves the most? And he really kind of put it together. Watch, the one that will celebrate the most with me will be the one that what has been forgiven the most.
Right.
And I believe that we need to recognize that God sees it from a perspective that maybe we can't quite equate with, but He sees that potential. He sees there. And somehow we need to grab hold of that love I talked about earlier, where we're willing to love someone's destiny more than our present comfort. Because sometimes our present comfort is saying, I don't want to do them a favor. They really hurt me. I don't want to tell, you know, go by and pick them up and bring them to church because of how they've treated my family. I don't want to pray for
them.
Difficult. I don't want to write them a letter and say, hey, I love you. It's hard.
It's hard.
But that's ministry. And I can tell you right now, when you do that, you will make a difference in that person's life, first of all. And number two, they are a commodity that God says is worth dying for. They are available to Him in a way that you and I probably cannot see. So our arms need to be open wide to them and receive them the way Christ is receiving them. And that means that at a church is not going to look like the normal
church.
Yeah, everyone dressed exactly right. You know, I used to say this, and I still sometimes do. You know, on one end, you have Ozzy and Harriet over there, you know, and all their family. On the other end of the pew, Ozzy Osbourne. And all that.
Same Ozzy, but a little different look.
All coming in and all progressing toward knowing Jesus Christ and having
Absolutely.
A personal, authentic relationship with Him. That's what I'm really going for. And they can't. And you know, with some of these people that are really way off track, they're the ones that go crazy over God in a way that some people who, you know, have always been good cannot really quite relate to. So,
well, because they're experiencing something in their life that they have never experienced before. It's a transformation in their life.
You know, when we see true drug addicts, I'm talking about people who have wasted their life, and see them delivered, totally set free, and they don't even want it anymore.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to get up in the morning and say, you know, well, forever, I'm always going to want this, but I've got to use my willpower to get rid of this. I'm talking about changing, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you see that take place, and that happens over and over and over, when you begin to see stuff like that, I'm telling you, it's a thrill. And that's it just keeps me going. I'll tell you that. It's just amazing.
Well, let's talk about some things that at the Christ Temple Church that, and I want to kind of talk about that, some things that we do that helps people that have, we talked about drug addiction, but I think we need to talk about that anymore. The drug addiction, the Christian rehabilitation for those individuals, divorce, general marital problems, job loss. You know, when I was talking about things that maybe people, society has said, you know, you've messed up, you're damaged goods, maybe you got fired from a job. You know, maybe it's not real bad things you've done, but it's just things, other addiction issues, but you've got a lot of things going on in your life. What are we doing? What is Christ Temple doing as a church body to embrace those individuals? We talked about having Ozzy and Harriet on one side and Ozzy Osbourne on the other. And, you know, and that's, and really, you know, I look back on the way I grew up, and I've said this many times, and it's not always been popular, so I like to say it again.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, church shouldn't be a social club. It shouldn't be a social club where we all look the same, where we all act the same. We all, you know, it should be, we're all different individuals in this world.
Well, that's true. Let me go back and kind of touch on some of the things you said. First of all, we are not a museum to show off saints.
Right.
We're a hospital with the solutions and the remedies. And, you know, think about people have been poisoned by sin, and we have the antidote. And we believe that with all our heart. We have the solution that people are looking for. Jesus is that answer. There's no doubt about it. But we know that's through them having an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we desire for everyone, to have an authentic relationship. That's where we're going to.
Right.
So where they come from, their background, they come that this way. And you don't, people don't get ready and then come to Christ. You come to Christ and then He prepares you for the work that He's called you to do. But you don't get prepared. In other words, people say, well, when I get this all right, Pastor, I'm going to start getting, I'm going to come to Christ.
You're not going
to
do it.
It'll never ever happen. Yeah. So people, come as you are. Okay,
yeah.
That's come all ye that are what? Heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In other words, bring all your burdens with you. Bring all your stuff with you. So that what that means is that Christ is counting on the church being up to the challenge of being able to minister to people from a variety of venues, backgrounds, situations, circumstances, and some of those things that they've created for themselves.
Right.
So we have to realize that our God is great, and we can't just say, even though it's powerful that we pray, we don't want to ever stop praying, and we believe there's a power in prayer, and that's why I'll never stop praying. But we can't just say, I'll pray for you, and then maybe just, you know, and send them on the way. We have to truly have people in our life that can delve down, because there's a thing called discipleship that is powerful, and we need to recognize that what that means is to cause someone to be a learner. And in order for them to be a learner, that means you're going to have provide for them information, understanding, and wisdom, and in that order as well. Information, which is the data, and then understanding what that data means, and then wisdom on how to apply it for a purpose or a meaningful life. And so that means when people come with a marital situation, we have to, by the presence of God, be able to maybe chart out a course for them of things that we know that God's Spirit has given to us. And we have to rely upon revelation to be able to give to those people. But we can't just say, hey, I hope it all works out for you.
Yeah.
You know, and or this, we pray for somebody and then say, if it was real, they'll come back next week. If they were serious, they'll come back next week.
No.
We've got to be in their lives today.
Right.
And it's very important that we do that and understand that that is our role, to be able to not just let them go, but to truly reach out to them in ways that we've not done before. And I don't have time to go through all the details, but I can tell you, it begins with, number one, truly, genuinely caring about people.
That's what it is. You got to care. You got to have a heart. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another quick break real quick. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen here in the studio with you. And our guest today is Pastor Chuck Lawrence. He's senior pastor at Christ Temple Church here in Huntington. And we've been talking about a lot of good information here, I think, today that really has given some insight to some individuals. I hope so, anyway.
Well, I do, too.
But there were some things when we left for break there that you wanted to kind of recap on and kind of talk about.
Yeah, we were talking about genuinely care.
Right.
And I want you to know that genuinely caring about someone is meaning that you're going to get into their situations and circumstances. And what has happened to our church is that has been so a blessing to us is we've been able to network. In other words, it used to be, we talked about this earlier, how the minister used to be the one that was responsible for everything.
Right. Like,
for everything. From counseling to finding someone a job and all the things you mentioned here all along.
Right.
They were there. But we have found that people are ministers, like we said, and we equip them and then we empower them. So therefore, we have people in our church who have been on drugs before. As a matter of fact, I think one of the, I guess I could say this,
all,
but I
brother.
Think it's really interesting. One of the judges from our area here, criminal judge, is singing in our choir.
Right.
And while he's singing in the choir, we have two guys up there who are baptizing, and they're baptizing somebody who just was delivered from drug addiction and all those things, delivered and set free. He's coming up out of the water. Water's going everywhere, and they're praising God. And I look at the judge, and the judge is clapping his hands with, you know, teary eyes as he's worshiping the Lord.
Somebody that stood before him at one time.
The one that's being baptized,
yeah.
Probably for sure. But guess what? The two that are doing the baptize were sentenced by him and should still be in prison. But while they were in prison, they found Jesus Christ, and now both of them are ministers, and here they are baptized in this. And what a scenario. I bet you it doesn't happen anywhere else in the whole wide world. And the one in the choir, while they're baptizing, is rejoicing and giving God praise. And both of those two men that I'm talking about right now both say, thank you, Judge, for saving our lives, because you sentenced us, and what you didn't know is we were going to find Christ. And both of those, their lives have completely turned around. around so
full
drastically,
circle.
Absolutely, that they're up there baptizing right in front of the judge who sentenced them. It's just too cool.
That is cool.
That's the answers that are there. But that's not from me. That's I want you to, you know, obviously I've trained and prayed and given what I could to these people. But some of these people are so good. I do this because of the lifestyles they have been in before and circumstances, and nobody can minister like somebody who came through it already.
Exactly.
Nobody has the testimony like somebody who can say, I was there just like you were, and look at them and say, you can make it too. And that kind of thing is where we start at, and prayerfully, with God's help, God's assistance, God's leading, it is magnificent. And we've seen the jobs through the networking come. We've seen the people get back on track. We've seen the people that are on the way to divorce. Right now, I think in the last 1 year and one half, I just want to say 18 months, that 21 couples that I know were on the way to divorce have been put back together again or in the process of their continuing, but they are together and they did not get a divorce. That's what's happening at Christ Temple right now.
That's not me.
Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah.
I am helping them, obviously. I'm part of it. I know about it, but they're the ones, the ministers, and there's people that are on drugs over and over again, straight across the board. I would say at least 100 that were on drugs 18 months ago that are now completely 100% delivered, and are not just delivered, they're helping others get off drugs as well. And how we handle the drug issue, that will define this generation.
Yeah.
And I believe we're handling it correctly. The recidivism is not happening. People are coming completely clear, clean. I mean, their minds are clear again. They're being used by God. Their faculties are coming back to them. Their families are being put back together again. They're becoming a profitable benefit to society.
Mm-hmm.
Great things are happening. This is an amazing day to live in, to see God working at that level. There's nothing He cannot do.
And you know what's interesting about the drug problem? You know, a lot of those
nothing that He cannot do. Make sure I said
nothing that He cannot do. That's right.
Okay.
You know, those individuals a lot of times that are having those drug issues, that are have addiction problems,
mm-hmm.
were good people that maybe had back problems and you know, or something. They got addicted to prescription medications, and it's changed their entire life. Yeah, and that's, our society is full of that. And if we watch the news and we pay attention to what's going on around us in our state, in the state of West Virginia here, and Kentucky and Ohio that we border, I mean, we're seeing this as a major problem. And you said something, I want you to say that again, if you can remember what you said, about how we handle that, how we handle addiction in this area is going to define, say that.
Our generation will be defined by how we handle drug addiction. And reason being is generational style. They'll look back what we did. And you know, I believe the church, the authentic church that's operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It really is the answer. It just happens.
No doubt.
And we have programs, of course. We have Monday night programs of 12 Steps with Jesus. We have all those things set in place. But we rely upon the miraculous so that we can then fulfill the meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
We must have the miraculous and not just the meticulous. But the miraculous with the meticulous will cause them to come out from it and then walk it out, they've come out from.
Let's talk about this a little bit. You know, we've talked about a whole lot of things here with church and stuff like that, but what about church attendance? You know, because there's some people says, you know, I turn my TV on Sunday
right.
and I get my church, and so you know, and I haven't been to church. I go on Easter Sunday, you know, and that's pretty cool. You know,
by the way, Easter
there.
Sunday was we had to do three services this this year, and it was just wonderful.
It was incredible. So let's talk a little bit about that as a pastor. Church attendance, and I mean, I know it's all about us coming together as a body,
mm-hmm.
but let's talk about that, because a lot of times there's individuals that feel like church attendance isn't,
you know, I
important.
Think a lot of people think, you know, there's been a message out there, I am the church.
Right.
Well, that would be like Joe Manchin saying, I am the Senate. You know, no.
Right.
No, it's a convening, it's coming together. The word church in the Bible, in the King James Version, comes from a word called ekklesia.
Mm-hmm.
And the ekklesia, that's the Greek pronunciation, ecclesia, and we get Ecclesiastes. And you know, ecclesiastical and all those things like that. But the word ekklesia, E-K-K, is the way it's in the Greek in the transliteration. But here's the point that I want to make, is that it means a convening of people to gain or glean the heart of the emperor or the king, and then they gained that insight, and then they, as leaders of that particular area, go out and begin to take the will of the king or the heart of the king or the emperor, and then they begin to implement it into the daily lives. In other words, the kingdom is represented by them, the heart of the kingdom. Well, that's what Jesus said. Jesus, the first one that said it, upon this rock I'll build my church, in which is the word ecclesia, which is, he knew that word was not a, he didn't make that word up. That word was already in existence from earlier Greek times, and comes from that particular time frame when they had what a democratic society, but they had a king or an emperor who then would rule through these that were like apostles, really. And apostles, again, is not a Christian word. It's a word that was used by the Greeks, and the Romans picked it up. And apostles, that means going in and making a difference, changing the culture of an area. So now we as apostolic representatives, we as the church, we need to go out and change, and the kingdom needs to influence all the area that we now are influencing. And we have this capability of gleaning the heart of God. So how do we glean the heart of God? By engaging with Him, or getting to know Him. How do we do that? By coming together. That's what Jesus said, the ecclesia. We come together to glean the heart of the King. So how do we do that? We do that in worship. We begin to engage Him. And then through that comes revelation. And then through that comes information that comes from the and impartation. All those things begin to happen in that setting. So therefore, the church is not something that Jesus said, you know, is something that we can just think about, or a building somewhere. No, it's us,
right.
Us, all of us, but us convening together and coming together to glean the heart of the King, and then take that out into the world and influence the world with the kingdom that we have drawn from during that time of ecclesia.
So coming together is very important for everyone. We've mentioned that. But what about once you come together and you become a member of that church, getting involved and being active in that church to help make that difference, to help empower individuals?
Well, a lot of people are active in the church, but really we need to be active
outside the church.
Yeah. We need to be active in the church. Of course, we don't need
active
to
on Sunday.
Yeah, active, but then take that activity that now has spawned something to you,
right,
like seeds planted in you, let it blossom out into the realm where you go to. And the world really is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting on somebody who's authentic and real and has this.
Right.
And we gain that by coming together. And there's something about when you come together and worship and begin to open yourself up to the King, begins to impart to you His will, His heart, and then you take that by that through that equipping time, and then you're now empowered to go out and change the environment.
Right.
For the kingdom. Okay.
Let me ask you this. What do you say to someone who, and I'm sure you've dealt with this in the past, what do you say to someone who says, you know, Pastor Chuck, I've been let down by some Christians?
Oh, wow.
You know?
And what would I say to them?
Yeah, I mean, what do you tell someone? I mean, they've been let down. I mean, we experience that a lot, where individuals will say, you know, the reason I don't go to church, the reason I don't convene with everybody else, I've been let down.
I'm telling you, the reasons are there, and there's no doubt in my mind. There's a lot of people that have been let down, and I think one thing is that the standard of what you're looking for from them is so high,
right?
Because they're Christians, and they call themselves a Christian. You hear statements like that.
So we put them up there and have higher expectations.
Higher expectations, and so therefore it really does hurt when they're not the real deal. But I tell you, a lot of people are not. Unfortunately, they have the name, but have not been able to cross over into that authentic relationship where they bear the fruit of Christ, and that's what my goal is that they will find that to be real, and so they can truly represent Christ correctly. And a lot of people say it doesn't matter; God understands. I'm only human, and all those things are just excuses to sanction us to live the way we desire to live. But I know that today God's calling us to a higher level, truly representatives of what Christ's love looks like to this world. And I pray that doesn't happen anymore.
Absolutely.
But if it does, don't let them stop you
from
your relationship, because you'll not be able to look at them over to your right and say, hey, they stopped me from doing what you called me to do, God, on the day of judgment. So I pray that you won't let them stop you, please. You are filled with purpose. You have a design by God. Please fulfill it. And if you don't have a church to go to, Christ Temple is 2400 Johnstown Road.
Absolutely.
Huntington, West Virginia. We'd love to have you.
Pastor Chuck, we have enjoyed having you on the show today. Really appreciate what you've imparted to individuals today, to all of us. A lot of great information. Really appreciate you being here.
Well, you know what? Maybe we can do it again sometime.
Let's do it again sometime, and maybe we'll even have some more surprises from Ernie, our producer there. That was pretty cool. That took you back a year or two.
It did.
But anyway, thanks again. And if you do not have a church, a home church, be sure and check us out at Christ Temple Church, 2400 Johnstown Road. And Pastor Chuck is always there to try to greet you and talk to you, and all of us make you feel at home. You've been listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. Have a great day.
Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC Huntington, a Kindred Communications station celebrating 20 years of local broadcasting.